ES3 C25, VTCT ITEC, Level 3 certificate in ESOL International, C2, Paper F. Part 1. You have 2 minutes to read the questions to prepare for the next part. You will hear a conversation. Listen to a conversation, then select the correct answer. You will hear the recording twice.
Before the break, I was talking to eminent psychologist Emma Smith about her just completed upcoming book on happiness and how much of it is determined by our own actions.
That's right.
I'd like to ask about the name of your book, Habit Yourself Happy. That's a bit peculiar, isn't it? I mean, I don't really get it.
Well, you see another theme in my book, the relationship between habits and happiness, because bad habits can increase unhappiness. Some key ones being blaming, controlling, criticising, complaining, and impressing.
OK, can you tell us a bit more then?
Sure. So firstly, blaming. By blaming other people or circumstances for negative experiences, you've decided that you've essentially relinquished control over your life, which is detrimental for your mood. Then there's controlling. The only person you can ever control is yourself. So the desire to dictate other people's behaviour will inevitably make you unhappy. Criticising is another bad habit we often participate in. Some people believe that by criticising others, they will feel more positive about themselves. But on the contrary, it doesn't. It just creates a spiral of negativity.
So, if we try to eliminate these bad practices, we'll feel happier.
Exactly. But it's not just how we behave. We have to think about how other people behave as well.
What do you mean?
Okay, if you choose to spend a lot of your time with complainers and negative people, you won't feel positive. Complainers wallow in their problems and fail to focus on solutions. They want people to join them in their self-pity so they can feel better about themselves. You should really be striving to surround yourself with people who inspire you.
Yes, I can see how that may have an effect on how you feel. You mentioned impressing earlier. What's that?
It's trying to impress other people. Actually, it makes you unhappy. Because what makes you happy is finding people who like you and accept you for who you are. All the things you acquire in the quest to impress people won't enhance your well-being. There's plenty of research that shows that material things don't make you more contented.
Okay, so now your book title is more logical to me.
Obviously, I've just summarised a few bad habits just now, but there are plenty more you can read about in my book.
It's surprising how a little bit of self-analysis and modification of habits could eventually lead you to a sunnier outlook, something which I'll definitely implement. Okay, let's move on and introduce the next guest who's going to join us today. Before the break, I was talking to eminent psychologist Emma Smith about her just completed upcoming book on happiness and how much of it is determined by our own actions.
That's right.
I'd like to ask about the name of your book, Habit Yourself Happy. That's a bit peculiar, isn't it? I mean, I don't really get it.
Well, you see another theme in my book, the relationship between habits and happiness, because bad habits can increase unhappiness. Some key ones being blaming, controlling, criticising, complaining, and impressing.
Okay, can you tell us a bit more then?
Sure. So firstly, blaming. By blaming other people or circumstances for negative experiences, you've decided that you've essentially relinquished control over your life, which is detrimental for your mood. Then there's controlling. The only person you can ever control is yourself. So the desire to dictate other people's behaviour will inevitably make you unhappy. Criticising is another bad habit we often participate in. Some people believe that by criticising others, they will feel more positive about themselves. But on the contrary, it doesn't. It just creates a spiral of negativity.
So, if we try to eliminate these bad practices, we'll feel happier.
Exactly. But it's not just how we behave. We have to think about how other people behave as well.
What do you mean?
Okay, if you choose to spend a lot of your time with complainers and negative people, you won't feel positive. Complainers wallow in their problems and fail to focus on solutions. They want people to join them in their self-pity so they can feel better about themselves. You should really be striving to surround yourself with people who inspire you.
Yes, I can see how that may have an effect on how you feel. You mentioned impressing earlier. What's that?
It's trying to impress other people. Actually, it makes you unhappy. Because what makes you happy is finding people who like you and accept you for who you are. All the things you acquire in the quest to impress people won't enhance your well-being. There's plenty of research that shows that material things don't make you more contented.
Okay, so now your book title is more logical to me.
Obviously, I've just summarised a few bad habits just now, but there are plenty more you can read about in my book.
It's surprising how a little bit of self-analysis and modification of habits could eventually lead you to a sunnier outlook, something which I'll definitely implement. Okay. Let's move on and introduce the next guest who's going to join us today.
Part 2. You have 2 minutes to read the questions to prepare for the next part. Listen to a conversation, then select the correct answer. You will hear the conversation twice.
Bad news, Sally. I've just had a prang in my car. It happened on the driveway outside our flat, but I've damaged the bodywork quite considerably.
Oh no! Are you all right, Andy?
I'm fine. Unfortunately, the same can't be said for the car.
Really? What do you mean?
Well, I'm sorry to say there is a large dent in the boot because I somehow shot back and hit the wall.
On the driveway? How did that happen? You weren't on your mobile, were you?
You would say that, wouldn't you? Just because I'm always on social media. Obviously I wasn't. I'm not a complete fool.
Well, let's be honest. It wouldn't be the first time you were glued to your phone when you shouldn't be.
Well, not this time. No, when I turned the key in the ignition and put my foot down, I realised the brakes seemed to be stuck. Or was it the accelerator? It all happened in the blink of an eye. Anyway, I can't recall exactly, but the car just seemed to jump and reverse into the wall. And the windscreen wipers aren't working properly either. So I couldn't see very well in the rain, which didn't help matters. I thought you were going to get them fixed.
I didn't get round to it. But it sounds like the pedals were the problem, so don't go blaming me. You'll need to get them looked at.
Never mind the pedals, it's wrecked. I don't know whether it's even worth salvaging. Probably a write-off.
Maybe not, but it could cost a fortune. And you might have no car for ages either. I suppose you'll have to get it to the garage and see what they say before you make any decisions.
Well, maybe I can drive my mum's car for a while. She hardly ever seems to use it.
I thought she was away at the moment.
Yes, that completely slipped my mind. I suppose the insurance company may lend me a hire car while mine is being fixed.
You'd be so lucky. I can't recollect any clauses about hire cars in the insurance policy. You should have made sure you paid extra for that service. You'll have to do without or go to a rental company.
I can always get the tram, I suppose. We can order shopping online until it's sorted out. What a pain in the neck. Right, I'll phone the garage.
Yes, you'd better get on with it. They shut early on Saturdays, you know.
Bad news, Sally. I've just had a prang in my car. It happened on the driveway outside our flat, but I've damaged the bodywork quite considerably.
Oh no! Are you all right, Andy?
I'm fine. Unfortunately, the same can't be said for the car.
Really? What do you mean?
Well, I'm sorry to say there is a large dent in the boot because I somehow shot back and hit the wall.
On the driveway? How did that happen? You weren't on your mobile, were you?
You would say that, wouldn't you? Just because I'm always on social media. Obviously I wasn't. I'm not a complete fool.
Well, let's be honest. It wouldn't be the first time you were glued to your phone when you shouldn't be.
Well, not this time. No, when I turned the key in the ignition and put my foot down, I realised the brakes seemed to be stuck. Or was it the accelerator? It all happened in the blink of an eye. Anyway, I can't recall exactly, but the car just seemed to jump and reverse into the wall. And the windscreen wipers aren't working properly either. So I couldn't see very well in the rain, which didn't help matters. I thought you were going to get them fixed.
I didn't get round to it. But it sounds like the pedals were the problem, so don't go blaming me. You'll need to get them looked at.
Never mind the pedals, it's wrecked. I don't know whether it's even worth salvaging. Probably a write-off.
Maybe not, but it could cost a fortune, and you might have no car for ages either. I suppose you'll have to get it to the garage and see what they say before you make any decisions.
Well, maybe I can drive my mum's car for a while. She hardly ever seems to use it.
I thought she was away at the moment.
Yes, that completely slipped my mind. I suppose the insurance company may lend me a hire car while mine is being fixed.
You'd be so lucky. I can't recollect any clauses about hire cars in the insurance policy. You should have made sure you paid extra for that service. You'll have to do without or go to a rental company.
I can always get the tram, I suppose. We can order shopping online until it's sorted out. What a pain in the neck. Right, I'll phone the garage.
Yes, you'd better get on with it. They shut early on Saturdays, you know. Part 3. You have 2 minutes to read the questions to prepare for the next part. Listen to a broadcast, then select the correct answer. You will hear the broadcast twice. In today's podcast, I want to talk about the concept of reasoning. Reasoning is an indispensable skill for anybody intending to do research, regardless of the discipline. So, shall we start with a definition, Harry?
Thanks, Lucy. I'd appreciate that.
We can say that reasoning is a method of coming to a conclusion by the use of logical argument. There are three basic forms of reasoning, which are called deductive, inductive, and a combination of both called inductive-deductive.
I think you might need to break that down for me a little bit, with some examples so I can get my head round it.
So, deductive reasoning was initially developed by the ancient Greeks and was refined by Aristotle. An argument based on deduction begins with general statements and, through logical argument, comes to a specific conclusion.
Could you give me an example of how this works?
I'll give a very basic description. So first, there is a major general premise or statement, followed by a minor, more specific premise, and then finally a conclusion which follows the others logically. Here is a simple example. All live mammals breathe. A cow is a live mammal. Therefore, a cow breathes.
OK. Can you explain the other two forms?
Of course. Inductive reasoning works the other way round. It starts from specific observations and then derives general conclusions from them. I can't explain it as neatly as the previous statement, but here is a simple example. All swans which have been observed are white in colour. Therefore, one can conclude that all swans are white.
Ah, that makes sense.
So, by careful and systematic observation of the events in the world around us, many theories have been evolved to explain the rules of nature. For example, Darwin's theory of evolution and Mendel's discovery of genetics are perhaps two of the most famous theories claimed to be derived from inductive reasoning.
So, are these methods foolproof?
Actually, it's worth noting that the two methods of reasoning are not without flaws. Deductive reasoning has been found to be limiting because it could only handle certain types of statement. It can also become increasingly divorced from observation and experience.
What about inductive reasoning?
Purely inductive reasoning can be unwieldy and haphazard, and it is rarely used accurately and in its full capacity.
So, I think I just about understand those two.
But remember, there is a third way. Inductive and deductive reasoning were then combined to form inductive-deductive reasoning.
Oh my, I think we're going to take a break, listeners, and we'll pick this up after I've had a cup of coffee. This is making my brain hurt. We'll be back soon.
In today's podcast, I want to talk about the concept of reasoning. Reasoning is an indispensable skill for anybody intending to do research, regardless of the discipline. So, shall we start with the definition, Harry?
Thanks, Lucy. I'd appreciate that.
We can say that reasoning is a method of coming to a conclusion by the use of logical argument. There are three basic forms of reasoning, which are called deductive, inductive, and a combination of both called inductive-deductive.
I think you might need to break that down for me a little bit, with some examples so I can get my head round it.
So, deductive reasoning was initially developed by the ancient Greeks and was refined by Aristotle. An argument based on deduction begins with general statements and, through logical argument, comes to a specific conclusion.
Could you give me an example of how this works?
I'll give a very basic description. So first, there is a major general premise or statement, followed by a minor, more specific premise, and then finally a conclusion which follows the others logically. Here is a simple example. All live mammals breathe. A cow is a live mammal. Therefore, a cow breathes.
OK. Can you explain the other two forms?
Of course. Inductive reasoning works the other way round. It starts from specific observations and then derives general conclusions from them. I can't explain it as neatly as the previous statement, but here is a simple example. All swans which have been observed are white in colour. Therefore, one can conclude that all swans are white.
Ah, that makes sense.
So, by careful and systematic observation of the events in the world around us, many theories have been evolved to explain the rules of nature. For example, Darwin's theory of evolution and Mendel's discovery of genetics are perhaps two of the most famous theories claimed to be derived from inductive reasoning.
So, are these methods foolproof?
Actually, it's worth noting that the two methods of reasoning are not without flaws. Deductive reasoning has been found to be limiting because it could only handle certain types of statement. It can also become increasingly divorced from observation and experience.
What about inductive reasoning?
Purely inductive reasoning can be unwieldy and haphazard, and it is rarely used accurately and in its full capacity.
So, I think I just about understand those two.
But remember, there is a third way. Inductive and deductive reasoning were then combined to form inductive-deductive reasoning.
Oh my, I think we're going to take a break, listeners, and we'll pick this up after I've had a cup of coffee. This is making my brain hurt. We'll be back soon.
Closing actions. This is the end of this assessment. You will now have 5 minutes to transfer your answers to the answer booklet and check that you have answered all of the questions. That is the end of this assessment.